So this book starts with a little boy named Charlie, and he's asking his mom why he's afraid of the dark. His mom replies that he should wait until the next day when his grandfather comes, and he'll answer the question. And so we're going to start where Charlie's grandpa is telling him this story to answer his question about why he's afraid of the dark. Once upon a time, there was a great king who was the king of light. He lived in the light. He made the light. And his light was so perfect and so pure that he was called the king without a shadow. This great king of light made a group of people, and he made them so that they could shine brightly just as he did. He called them his little lightlings. He set the lightlings in a beautiful garden that he prepared for them, a garden that was full of bright sunshine. The sun bathed the garden every day and helped the flowers, plants, and fruit grow in great abundance. The bright light of the sun helped keep everyone warm in the garden. The lightlings loved it when the king came to visit them at the end of the day. But one day, something terrible happened. The lightlings decided to do what they wanted to do instead of what their king commanded them to do. So they disobeyed the king and sinned against him. The very moment they sinned, their lights became dim and they were filled with shame and great embarrassment. They ran as fast as they could to get away from the king. They didn't want the king of light to see them. They ran out of the garden and into the woods and hid themselves in the darkest place they could find. From then on, they were afraid of the light, because they knew that where the light was, the king would be, and the king would see them in their shame. After the lightlings left, the king began to remove his light from the garden. It soon became cold and covered with weeds, thorns, and sticky briars. The lightlings moved further and further into the woods until they lived in a place that was almost completely covered in darkness. It was so dark, they had to grope around as if they were blind, feeling their way through the forest. Often they would trip and fall, scuffing their knees and bruising themselves. It was awful living in the dreadful darkness all the time, where the only light they ever saw was in barely lit shadows that danced in the forest. In fact, they couldn't tell the difference anymore between night and day. Then one night, or perhaps it was day, far off in the distance, they saw a blinding light shining through the trees. They could see the light coming from miles and miles away. They were frightened by it. They thought the light meant that the king was coming to find them to punish them for their sins. So most of the lightlings began to stumble quickly away from the light. But some of the lightling children were so amazed by the light and curious about it that they decided to see from where it was coming. They set off and traveled for miles and miles. It took them a long time, but as they moved, they saw the light shining brighter and brighter. Finally, they came to a clearing in the forest. In the middle of the clearing, they saw a father lightling, a mother lightling, and a baby who was shining like the sun. The blazing light seemed to be coming right out of the baby himself. The lightlings who saw it were shocked and surprised. They asked the father lightling, "Who is this baby? Where did he come from?" The father lightling answered, "He is not my son. He is the son of the King of Light. The king has given him to us as a special gift. He has been born for us. When he grows up, he will be called the light of the world. There will be no darkness strong enough to hide his light, no darkness deep enough to send his light away." When they heard this, the lightling children knelt down at the baby's feet and began to worship him in fear and reverence. When they stood up again, their own faces were shining. But the light that was shining in their faces was not coming from inside them. It was a reflection of the light coming out of the baby. The lightlings were now surrounded with the light of the child they had visited. They rushed back to their homes, their friends, and their families as fast as their feet could carry them. When they got home, they were still shining. The other lightlings were frightened at the sight of them. They asked, "What happened to you?" So the lightling children told their story. "We saw a baby who was shining with light. He is the son of the King of Light. The King has given us a child. He has given us his own son to be the light of the world." The lightlings noticed that already there was more light in the forest. Now they could begin to see where they were going. They could walk without falling. They could run and play without bumping into trees or rocks and getting bruised. Some still hid from the light, but others realized they didn't need to be afraid anymore. They saw that living in the light was much better than the darkness they were used to. Grandpa looked at Charlie and said, "You see, Charlie, we're afraid of the dark because we were made to live in the light. But someday, all of us who love this son will live with him forever in heaven. When we go to the dwelling place of the son, who is now the light of the world, there will be no darkness at all. Not only that, there will be no moon. There won't be any stars or even a sun. There'll be no nightlights, no lamps, no lanterns, not even any candles." Charlie asked, "How can it be light? If there's no sun or lamps or candles, how can that be?" His grandfather replied, "In the place where the king's son now lives, the light that shines forever still comes from him. He is the light in heaven. All who come into his presence will never be in darkness again." "Wow," Charlie said, "that sure is a wonderful thing to look forward to." And Grandpa replied, "But we're going to wait to hear what Grandpa's reply was. I'm gonna bring a message in a little bit, and at the end of that message, you guys are gonna hear what Grandpa's reply is. Okay? All right, you can go back to your seats now." If you are visiting, maybe with family, my name's Dale Emerson. I'm one of the elders here. And for those of you who are our church family, it is my great pleasure to worship with you, and I love being here with you all and worshiping our Savior. The passage tonight that we'll be looking at comes from Matthew 1, starting at verse 18 through the end of the chapter. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet: 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love, your great plan of salvation. From even before creation was. Lord Jesus, thank you for your humility, for setting aside your glory and taking on flesh. Holy Spirit, thank you for giving us life and working in us. Help us now to see your beauty. Build us up and help us. Amen. So I've never done this before, and I was sitting down with Kevin at lunch, and we were talking about how to think through this, and the Lord laid on my heart Joseph, maybe a character that in the Advent story that maybe you haven't thought much about, or maybe you have, but I began to think about Joseph and how I relate to him, ways that I'm similar to him, and similar experiences. So for those of you who don't know me, I currently run a masonry contracting business, but before I ran the business, I was laying brick and block and stone, doing hard labor, working with my hands. Joseph was a carpenter, and so I can relate to that. I was engaged at one time when I was much younger, just like Joseph. And I received news that I would have a child, that Shirley was pregnant. Before I go further into that story, though, let's take a look at Joseph and what this passage tells us about him. So in verses 18 and 19, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. I think this is a beautiful gospel picture. Joseph certainly isn't perfect, but he is a picture of Jesus's perfect justice, perfect righteousness. It says he was a just man. But at the same time, he was unwilling to put Mary to shame. He could have pressed his rights, presumably because they were engaged when she was found to be pregnant. Presumably, he was the one who was sinned against. But he didn't want to press charges. His desire for mercy was greater than his desire for justice, just like Christ, like we see over and over again with him. And it goes even further. And further in this passage, after he obeys the angel, he not only doesn't put her to shame, but he takes her shame upon himself. For everyone around them would have presumed that that child was his. If he were staying with her. And this is what Christ does for us. Takes our shame upon himself. So what did that angel say? As Joseph considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. I mean, I've received news of many types. And if there was ever large news that was very heavy and hard to take and weighty, I mean, this is it, right? Not only is he going to be a father, an earthly dad to Jesus, but he's told that this child will be the savior of sinners. How would we have felt in that moment if God had called us to provide for and care for Jesus. Continuing with my story about news and getting the news that I would be a dad, Shirley and I had been planning for, hoping for, wanting children at the time, been trying for a while. And you would think that when I got the news, I would be elated and excited. And it was exciting, but not in the moment I got the news from Shirley. It was very weighty. The responsibility of being a parent hit me very hard. I ended up on the floor, weeping, thinking about that responsibility. And it is a big responsibility. It's a holy calling. And so, in part at least, I can relate to Joseph in all of the news that he received and how hard it would be to consider these things. How does he make the decisions he's going to make? And I think all of us can relate to Joseph in different ways. We all have weighty things in our lives. Some of them are very good things, like being a parent, having children. Some weighty things are hard, even if they are good, like being a parent. Some things are hard, and they are terrible. I had to care for my dad, help provide for my mom and dad when he was sick and dying, and it was terrible. And I was a wreck for years afterwards. You can ask Shirley or Kevin. Some of you are dealing with very weighty, hard, terrible things. Physical, emotional, chronic illness. Some of you are dealing with weighty things that are fallout from sin or just from being in a sinful world and not because you sinned or anyone else sinned. But what gives us strength to be faithful in the weighty things that God puts in our lives in His providence? I think it's right here in verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. There's several ways he is with us, but I've got three that I want to touch on. He came and he was with us in the flesh. He was with mankind. He became fully human, taking on flesh. He gave us his word, and he gave us his spirit. He took on flesh. He humbled himself, set aside his glory, set aside his rights, that he could live the perfect life that we could not, and die the death that we deserved so that we could be saved, so that we could be brought in and be part of his family. But he didn't stop there. He gave us his word as well as a continual reminder for our salvation, but also for living out the life he has called us to. Just a few places in Scripture that I love, that I go back to again and again as a reminder that he is with us, that he has us, and that he will continue with us. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. In John 10, verses 27 through 29, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. An elder at the last church I was at, he called it the double clutch. He said, Jesus has got me, the Father has got me, right? No one can snatch out of God's hand the people that he has. In one of my favorite chapters, in Romans 8, just a couple of verses, 38 and 39, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen. If we are united to Christ, if we trust in Christ, nothing can separate us from Him. So He came in the flesh, He gave us His Word, and He sent His Spirit to be in us, to save us, and for living out what He has called us to. This verse that I'm going to read, I'm sure I had heard it many times, but a few years ago, hit me in a big way. This is Jesus talking to His disciples. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." Jesus is saying to His disciples, it's better for them, for Him to leave and send the Spirit. The state that we are in right now. I know for years, I would have always chosen, I want Jesus here. I want to hug Him. I want to see Him. I want to hear His voice audibly. Right? And in one sense, that's great. We should desire that. And one day we will see Him face to face. But He does say here, it's better for us that He goes. That His Spirit would be sent to dwell inside us. So He came in the flesh. He gave us His Word. He preserved it. And His Spirit is living and active and inside of us. These are the things that give us strength to be faithful in the weighty things we deal with. Whatever the weighty things are that you are dealing with now or are coming, whether you're a kid who's getting ready to go to a new school or maybe going away to college or starting a first job or getting married or just new in retirement, all these unknowns, they can be weighty things for us. But He is with us. He is with us. You probably noticed there was a theme of light in the scripture readings and in the songs and in the book I read. God has shown Himself as light at many critical points in history. These might not sound like light to us as modern people, but throughout most of history, light only came through fire. Campfire, torches, candles, lamps. And so here's just a list of ways God has shown Himself as light. To Abraham as the smoking fire pot. To Moses in the burning bush. To Israel when He came down upon Mount Sinai in fire, in the pillar of fire that led them through the wilderness and as it came upon the tabernacle. In Isaiah's vision of the Lord in His temple, it was filled with smoke. Where does smoke come from? When Jesus came, a star proclaimed it. When the church at Pentecost was gathered together and the Holy Spirit came, there were tongues of fire above them. And ultimately, Jesus is the final light. So how does light tie into this message? Well, here's Grandpa's reply. "Charlie, let me make a suggestion. And this is my suggestion for all of you as well. Every time you see the sun, the moon, or the stars, or light a candle, or turn on your nightlight, remember the story of the child, the King of Light, brought into the darkness of this world. And remember that He gave us this baby as a present. as long as you remember that, you will never, ever have to be afraid of the darkness again. Praise our God that He has overcome the darkness. Please pray with me. Lord God, thank you that you are with us in all the weighty matters in our lives, whether from our own sin, from others' sins, through no fault of anyone's, just from living in a fallen world, or even the weightiness of the good things, the good works you have called us to. We praise you and glorify you that you are with us, that you are in us. You are the one true God. You are the gracious and loving and merciful God. Lord Jesus, you are the one who humbled himself and saved us to bring us unto yourself. We praise you. We adore you. Amen.